Today on The Journey.
Above reproach means one who cannot be taken hold of, not open to attack. There are no handles of accusation. No one can grab that handle and pull us down.
There's a biblical measurement that marks the influential Christian life. How effectively you impact the world, your neighbors, and family for Christ hangs on that yardstick. In today's program, Ron Moore shares that vital measurement and the reasons it's so important to completing your mission on earth. We'll get to that right after a brief word about Ron's daily devotional titled Journey Through the Gospels. In these 365 reflections, you'll discover truths about Jesus and yourself that you may have never seen before. Journey Through the Gospels is available for a donation of any amount, and you'll find it on the web at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a message titled, Demonstrating My Influence, on the Journey.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy. We're involved in a series of sermons we've titled, Owning My Influence. Emphasis on that little pronoun, my, because every one of us influences other people. You may influence them for the good, you may influence them for the bad, but we are influencers. And this is one thing we cannot delegate. It's something we cannot ignore. We have to own our influence. We are focusing on three books in the New Testament called the pastoral letters, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. And we're using a list of characteristics found in 1 Timothy chapter 3 as the guideline for our study. These are specifically qualifications for elders, but they're not for elders only. They are for all of us. Last time we met, we looked at chapter 3, verse 1. Here's a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. If anyone sets his heart on influencing others, Paul says that is a good thing. That is the right thing. That's the noble thing to do. We saw this word, sets oneself, means to stretch oneself forward to grasp. And that's the life that God wants us to live, holding nothing back. Now, there's a second characteristic found in verse 2. Here's a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an influencer, an overseer, he desires a noble task. Now, the overseer must be above reproach. Some translations, blameless. Now, sounds a little ominous, doesn't it? Quite honestly. A little heavy. Above reproach. Some would say that's impossible. I want to leave a godly legacy for sure, but it's impossible for me to live a blameless life. I can't live without sin. Well, you're right on two accounts. One, it is heavy. And two, even a believer cannot live a life without sin. Now, the Holy Spirit is in us, and if we're growing, temptations should dull over time, but none of us will ever be above sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 is written to believers, and he says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. Again, this is believers. We're not talking about our standing before Christ. We're talking about growing in our walk with Christ. So living above reproach does not mean living without sin. So what does it mean? Above reproach, the Greek word means one who cannot be taken hold of, not open to attack. Some commentators say it comes from wrestling, where a wrestler leaves no part of his body exposed. He is in a guarded stance. He doesn't want the opponent to come in and grab his leg and take him down. And there will be accusations. If we're living for Christ, we're going to be criticized. People want us to go down, right? But we live our life in such a way that there are no handles of accusation. No one can grab that handle and pull us down. Well, some of you are saying, well, I've already blown it. My past has all kinds of handles on it that if people grab them, they could pull me down in every direction. We are all sinners, every one of us, and every one of us has a past. Look at Titus chapter 3. Paul says, at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. At one time, we too lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Then there's that key word, but. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not by the righteous things that we had done, but because of His mercy, His grace, His love. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, having been justified by grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. You see, when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us from those handles of the past. He saved us from that sin of the past. We are not who we once were. I am not stuck in the sin of my past. God says this in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let us settle the matter. Let us put this to rest. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be as wool. Now, as a believer, having been cleansed from my past, I've been set free by Jesus Christ Himself. Now, as a believer, I am cleansed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. So look at verse 8. This is a trustworthy saying. I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing good, the things that are excellent and profitable for everyone. And so now, as a believer, we need to live above reproach. No handles of sin that can drag us down. So you say, okay, I get that. I can handle that within the community of believers. I can handle that within my family. I want to own my influence. But come on, Ron, choir boys and choir girls don't get ahead in the world. Well, go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Just in case we thought living above reproach was only for the community of believers, Paul says in verse 7, in that same list of characteristics, he, the influencer, must also have a good reputation with outsiders. Who do you think outsiders are? Unbelievers. And Paul gives two reasons. So that he will not fall into disgrace, and so that he will not fall into the devil's trap. You see, you cannot be two people. You cannot be one person who comes to church, sings in the choir, teaches a Sunday school class, does the ushering, serves the Lord here in church, that's great, and then out there in the world, you're another person because you're convinced that you got to go along to get along. Paul says, no. Integrity means you're one person. You're one person whether you're singing songs on a Sunday morning or that same person when you're sitting at your desk on Monday morning. And it may be tougher there for sure, but you got to be the same person. You have to have a good reputation with outsiders. So here are the two reasons. One, so that you will not fall into disgrace. You say you're a believer. You profess to follow Jesus Christ. And if you live like everyone else, you are bringing reproach to the name of Christ. Paul says, here's the other reason. So you don't fall into the trap of the devil. Unbelievers are watching. They're watching for two reasons. One, they'd like to see you go down. You have spoken about standards and you live by standards. Not everyone has those. And unbelievers love it when believers fall. But there's another reason. They are desperately looking to see if Jesus Christ in your life really changes things. They want to see what difference Jesus makes. And if you choose to live an under the radar, mediocre, anemic, insipid, go along to get along Christian life, then they're going to look at you and say, why in the world would I want that? I can talk like that. I can live like that. I can chase a dollar like that without Jesus Christ. I don't even have to give to the Mercy Fund thing at Christmas Eve. I can do whatever I want to do. And that's the devil's trap, isn't it? He has you right where he wants you. If you fall flat on your face, the devil says, that's just icing on the cake. That's great. But if you just live this lukewarm, all talk Christian life, then he has you where he wants you. And the world says, no need for me to do that. See, living above reproach doesn't mean I'm perfect. Doesn't mean you're perfect, because we're not. But living above reproach lives with an urgency, a commitment, a discipline, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to live a life that is guarded from attack, so that someone can look at us and accuse us, but when they accuse us, they can't grab a handle to bring us down. They accuse us of something, but it doesn't stick, because we're living above reproach. All right. I want to wrap this up by looking at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Turn there with me. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Paul's talking to Timothy. He says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, in purity. Those five things. First of all, Paul says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Timothy, don't use that as an excuse. Don't talk about, well, that was just a youthful indiscretion on my part. If you're young, ball is in your court. And you need to live for Christ right now. That principle broadens out. Whatever stage of life you're in, whatever you're going through, whatever challenges are in your life, there are no excuses. Don't let anyone look down on you. Don't let anyone use those things for an excuse. Instead, set an example in these five things. Here are the five things. Number one, speech. Speech without handles to bring you down. So here's some self-assessment questions that I've been asking myself. Now I'll share them with you. Are you a complainer? Are you a criticizer? Proverbs 12:18 says, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Are you a gossip? Do you share things you shouldn't share? Are you a Facebook gossip? Proverbs 16:28 says, a perverse person stirs up conflict and a gossip separates close friends. Proverbs 20:19, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 19, gossip is right there in the list with jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, arrogance, and slander. In Romans chapter 1, is right there in the list with murderers and God-haters. Do you talk too much? Here's another one. Do you use foul language? Ephesians 5 says this, but among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, nor any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Speech without handles. Two, a life without handles. Do you behave yourself in public? Do you behave yourself on Route 19? Do you behave yourself when you're leaving the parking lot? I used to get irritated when I was driving, and I would use my horn a lot to honk at people. And then I realized I was honking at some of you guys. And so my kids made me stop doing that. Do you stay away from tempting places and tempting situations? Do you pay your bills on time? Are you honest? Is your word your bond? Psalm 15 asks the question, who can enjoy fellowship with God? Who can enter into God's sanctuary? Who can be God's guest? And it answers, the one whose walk is blameless, who speaks the truth from their heart, who keeps an oath even when it hurts, does not change their mind. Are you content with the gifts God has given you. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Paul says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." People who want to get rich fall into temptations and a trap. There's that trap again. "And into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction." Not money. Money is neutral. But the love of money, that comes from a person's heart. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. "For some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." Do you have a love of money? Are you chasing the almighty dollar? That's not living above reproach. Next question, are you making an eternal investment? When Tyco's CEO, Dennis Kowalski, spent $6,000 on a shower curtain for his Manhattan apartment with company money, we can say, that's wrong. And when Merrill Lynch's John Thain spent over $1 million redecorating his private office during a period when the company's stock was going down the tubes, we can say, that's wrong. When his parchment trash can cost $1,400, that was a perfect symbol of waste and excess. Now, those are easy finger pointers, aren't they? Pundit George Will says, "Few things are as stimulating as another person's calamities observed from a safe distance." But if we own our influence, we can't observe ourselves from a safe distance. We have to really look into our heart, up close and personal, our banking account, our checkbook. How are we using what God has given us? 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 18 says this, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their trust in God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment." Command them, not a suggestion. Paul says, be sure you command them. Why do we need to talk about money in church? Because right here, Paul says to Timothy, command them. It's going to be an issue. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Don't we want that? The life that's truly life. So, are you making eternal investments with the money and a lot of it that God's given you? Love without handles. Do you demonstrate love to your family? Do you provide for them? Do you provide not only food and clothing and shelter? 1 Timothy 5:8 says we need to be doing that, but we also need to be providing presence and example and counsel and godly wisdom. Do you show compassion to the needy? Do you show love to your neighbor? Love is demonstrated in acts of service. The next one in 1 Timothy 4:12 is faith. Faith above reproach. Faith without handles. And here, the word faith represents the content of Scripture, the knowledge of who God is and who we are and how God works in our life. Do you know what you believe and why you believe it? Can't live above reproach if you don't know what God's calling you to do. Titus 1:9, he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Next one, purity above reproach, purity without handles. Here are the questions. Do you handle yourself appropriately with the opposite sex? Not flirtatious. Watch and touch. In your workplace, in your school, do you handle yourself appropriately with the opposite sex? Would anyone find a handle to grab from your Facebook page? Would anyone find a handle to grab in your text message or email history? Here's what I know. All I have is my reputation. That's it. If I'm a brain surgeon and sleep around, you probably still go to that brain surgeon because he's the best one in town, right? But when you talk about living for Christ, all you have is your reputation. People can grab onto that. And so we have strict values here and policy, particularly interacting with the opposite sex. We are not going to go out to eat with a female member and a male member of our staff. If you see a male member of our staff with a female, that better be his wife or his mother. If you saw me in a car driving down with someone not Lori, what do you think? You got to live above reproach. And businessmen, you need to draw some lines. When we meet with women around here, when we counsel, if a man's counseling once, we just do it about one time, and the doors are either open or the blinds are up and someone is there. We're never going to do it alone. Don't put yourself in a bad situation. Is that being fearful? Call me fearful. I don't care. But I'd rather guard that with our staff because we want to live above reproach. Is living above reproach hard? Yeah. Obedience is hard. But I can promise you this. It's not harder than being God and taking on the form of man. It's not harder than, as Isaiah says, living a life of being despised and rejected. It's not harder than being falsely accused and sentenced to crucifixion. It's not harder than having your hands tied to a pole and your back flogged with leather straps, with little pieces of metal balls and jagged rocks at the end so that your back is just open, hanging flesh. It's not harder than being put on a cross and having nails driven through your hands and your feet. It's not harder than having that cross lifted and fall into a hole so that your shoulders separate. And I just described the easiest part of the crucifixion. Jesus, on that cross, took your sins and my sins. He bore our sins in his body on the cross. He died so we could live, to the point that the Father had to turn his back on his Son because God cannot look on sin. It's not harder than that. We follow one who has laid himself out for us. Are we willing to do that for him?
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Would you like to sense the anticipation of the people as Jesus stood up to preach? Would you like to feel the joy and wonder as the scales fell from the eyes of the man born blind? Would you like to see Jesus for the first time all over again? Well, that can be your everyday experience with Ron Moore's devotional titled Journey Through the Gospels. In these 365 insightful meditations, Ron takes you on a challenging journey through the life of Christ. Along the way, Jesus will touch your soul and spirit with life-changing truths and tender affection. Journey Through the Gospels is yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
It's not so much how we played the game yesterday, but it's how we're playing the game today. Now, that fact should give us comfort because we can blow it and still recover.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please drop by our website to order your copy of Journey Through the Gospels. This daily devotional will enrich your walk with the Savior and increase your understanding of his life and ministry. Journey Through the Gospels is available for a donation of any amount at ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Also, we invite you to join Ron Moore on the 2020 Biblical Encounter Tour in Israel this coming April. There, you'll experience the power and presence of Christ as you journey through his homeland, recalling his ministry and miracles in Galilee and Jerusalem. Your faith will be strengthened as you touch the land and the lives of those who laid the foundation of the Church of Jesus Christ. The registration deadline and final payment are due January 10th. Visit ronmoore.org for more information. Again, that address is ronmoore.org. Join us for the trip of a lifetime. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.